Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Thursday, July 15, 2021, Orange County Juvenile Justice Coordinating Council, SB 823 Subcommittee Meeting. My name is Brian Prieto. I'm the Assistant Chief Probation Officer for the Orange County Probation Department. This afternoon, I have the distinct pleasure of sitting in for our chief, Stephen J. Sentman, who is normally the chair of this fine group. I'll be sitting in on behalf of Steve this afternoon. So we can jump right into welcome and introductions. Why don't we start with our representative from the district attorney's office, Kimberly Doyle. If you'd introduce yourself, please.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. Kimberly Doyle, I am the head of juvenile court here on behalf of Todd Spitzer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Welcome, Kimberly. From the offices of our public defender, Laura, if you're on, would you please introduce yourself?
I don't see Laura.
Okay. We will then move on to our esteemed representative from the juvenile court, Judge Motueke, if you would introduce yourself.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Joanne Motueke, juvenile court presiding judge. Unfortunately, Brian, I have to leave at 2:30 today, so sorry about that.
Oh, very good. Then we'll make sure to get all the work done and assign everything to you before you leave.
I figured you'd do that after I left, right?
Very nice. Thank you, Your Honor. All right, moving on to our social services agency. Ken, if you're on, if you would please introduce yourself, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. Ken Santini, Social Services Agency, attending on behalf of our director, Deborah Bates.
Thank you very much. Welcome, Ken. And moving on to our healthcare agency, Dawn, if you are on, if you'd introduce yourself, please.
I am. Thank you, Brian. This is Dawn Smith. I'm the division manager for Children and Youth Behavioral Health with the healthcare agency. And today I have asked Alicia Lemire to join me on the call because I am also going to have to log off at 2:30, unfortunately. And so Alicia will continue to be eyes and ears on the call.
Okay, very nice.
Thank you.
So thank you. So you and Judge Motueke will be the chairs of the new subcommittees of the subcommittee later, and we'll just assign you your jobs after the fact. Thank you. Moving on to our education representative, Lynn, if you are on the line.
Hi, I'm Lynn Garrett, and I'm the Director of Student Services for the Alternative Ed Division, Orange County Department of Education.
Thank you. Welcome, Lynn. And to our community members, we will first start with Nazalee Restrepo. Nazalee, if you are on, if you'd introduce yourself, please.
Hi, yes, Nazalee Restrepo with the Project Youth OCPF.
Thank you. Welcome, Nazalee. Moving on, Raymond, I think I saw you. Sir, if you would introduce yourself, please.
Hi, thank you. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Raymond Sanchez with Project Kingship, Peer Navigator Coordinator.
Fantastic. Welcome this afternoon, sir. And last but certainly not least, Mr. Kim, if you are on, please introduce yourself.
Hi, everybody. Good afternoon. Steve Kim, Community and Project Kingship.
Fantastic. Okay. Moving on to agenda item number two for today's agenda. Now I'm turning it over to Jamie. Jamie, are there any members of the public or anyone else that would like to weigh in on agenda item number two?
No, if anybody wishes to speak on agenda item two, which is the discussion of services and programs provided by member entities, please hit star 9 on your phone or the raise hand icon on the Zoom app. We do not have any requests.
Okay, very good. All right, moving on to agenda item number two then, for the committee's consideration. When we last spoke, I know we're still in the process of identifying what services are currently available here for the youth in the County of Orange. I'm going to provide some data to kind of provide some context for this afternoon's conversation. Some of the information that I'm going to provide are just highlights of data and other information that we will ensure make its way out publicly in more detail at our next meeting. But I did want to just kind of share some highlights, and hopefully that will kind of illuminate the group as to, as we're planning and we're putting together the plan for our local secure track and local SP 23 planning. We want to kind of take a look at the youth that could potentially be not only in need of the services that we're trying to create, but also kind of give a historical of what our, at least local, Centerville 23 profile here in Orange County actually encompasses. So just some things to let the group know of. So as of June 18th of this year, so 2021, the group of individuals that I will be referring to include about 51 youth that over time have been either they're currently in custody or under the supervision of probation in one shape, in one way, shape, or form, or they had some eligible 707B type offense. So again, about 51 of those kids. The number of entries into the formal system of the 51 ranged anywhere between one entry all the way up to 9 entries. So that's something to kind of keep in the back of everyone's mind as we continue our planning process. It may not be too surprising to the group, but the majority of the 51 were male youth. We did have 3 of the 51 that were female. The age range that we're talking about fell somewhere between the ages of the majority fell between the ages of 18 and about 22. We did have 3 youth that were in the age range of 16 to 17. The city of residence for some of the youth included the cities of Santa Ana, Garden Grove, Anaheim, Mission Viejo, and Westminster, with the majority of the youth in question coming out of the city of Santa Ana. And in terms of their, not necessarily demographic data, but things that made them at higher risk to recidivate, many of you know that the Orange County Probation Department uses as part of its assessment tool for risk and the needs that youth present at the time that they enter. We use a derivative of the Wisconsin model. And so a number of our risk factors that identify a person's risk to recidivate include things like whether or not an individual youth, he or she, has any kind of drug or chemical use or abuse history, if they have any issues that include family issues, mental health issues, if they typically associate with negative peer influences, or if there's any other type of dysfunction within the home. For example, there's a lack of a parental or positive engagement within the home, or there's just a lack of control. So with kind of all of that in mind, it would probably come at no surprise to the group this afternoon that the biggest risk factor that we've found in the 51 that I have mentioned is that they've got negative peer influences. So they're either a known gang member, an associate of a known gang, or they have a proclivity towards aligning their thoughts or their actions with a negative peer group like a gang. the next big risk factor is either the lack or absence of control within the family unit. And then the final, again, not surprising, is the prevalence of drug or chemical use or abuse that is present in the majority of the youth that we're trying to plan for. So kind of with that all in mind, I'll kind of turn it over at this time, unless there are any questions from the subcommittee members. I'll turn it over at this time to Daniel Hernandez. If you wanted to highlight any progress, or if you wanted to illuminate the group on any additional services or programs that are present through the probation department or specifically through our partnerships.
Sure. I'll elaborate a little bit on the profile, since that was kind of our homework over the last couple of meetings. Just one other kind of stat to throw out is most of these 51 youth are out of custody. So we're talking about our youth development court youth primarily. However, 14 were in custody on June 18th, and that included 8 at juvenile hall, but interestingly, 3 at Youth Guidance Center and 3 at Youth Leadership Academy. So just to include that dynamic in our thoughts and planning, I know 823 allows for the court to order less restrictive options and things like that. And so while these aren't secure track youth per se now, there are youth who kind of fit the offense, you know, profile. And then also some of the other data I was asked to look into was information regarding the youth that we currently have, Orange County currently has at EJJ. And now as of last week or so when I got this information, we had 6 currently at DJJ. And some of the questions that we looked into were prior involvement in the child welfare system, whether a parent was involved in the criminal justice system, whether they had received a high school diploma, and whether they were participating in college courses at DJJ or vocational services. And then another question I was asked to look into was how does DJJ refer or transition youth to housing post-release? So, I think there was one more thing that would come to me that we're still working on, actually. So, related to those questions, of the 6, 2 of the youth had prior child welfare involvement. None of the youth had both parents involved in the criminal justice system. However, 4 had at least one parent involved in the criminal justice system. All 6 of our youth have graduated from high school at DJJ. However, none of them are participating in any college courses at DJJ. 2 of the 6 were participating in some sort of vocational program while there. And then interestingly on the housing question, so DJJ, this is one of our probation officers who's reaching out to DJJ, and they told our probation officer that they typically will, you know, prior to release, reach out to, you know, through the youth to for family members, friends, folks or other, or, you know, of course, obvious options for housing for youth. But then we further asked, okay, well, what if that doesn't reveal any options, right? Well, I guess in a pat on the back to Orange County or Youth Development Court or our probation officers, the answer was, well, they call us. And so they say that the YDC probation officers have resources and things like that, that they then assist in helping the youth to find housing if there is no obvious option. So I think that's, again, not just our probation officers, but obviously our probation officers and the networks that they use through Youth Development Court, or on their own as well. So that was interesting to hear. And hang on, let me get that last question that is still pending. Oh, the dosage of in-custody services. So they're going to look for the six youth that are there, what treatment programs they've been involved in there. They had not been able to compile that yet. So I am told I'll be able to have that for the next meeting. And like Brian said, this stuff is, again, coming in all just too short of a time frame to get them posted for today's meeting. But we'll likely be able to share the profile information. And also I have our case plan document that we use. So that's something that I will be able to have posted for the next meeting. I know that's something that the folks in the group wanted to see. And there were some suggestions last time of perhaps adding to or modifying the case plan document. So we'll have those things definitely posted for the next meeting. Any questions about that, the profile or the other data that we were asked to gather?
Daniel, I have one question. Were the students that received high school diplomas, can you tell if it was the 130 waiver or if it was a full four-year credit, you know, like the 220, 240?
Yeah, it doesn't say. It just says they have received their high school diploma, so I don't know at what level that was.
Okay. I know that we're just seeing students who are doing the 130 are not as likely to go on to secondary education as those who are doing a full high school diploma.
Okay, good to know.
Hey, so Lynn, I have a kind of a follow-up question to the exchange that you had with Daniel. So for the purposes of planning, right? So let's just say that we learned that all of the cohort of Orange County youth that eventually made it their way to DJJ or were eligible, you know, they had the eligible offense. Would that change the educational program that we would want to be able to offer for them if they, you know, if they attained their high school education or equivalent of one way versus the other?
The waiver cuts out a lot of classes, and we don't really have a lot of choice because the legislature says we have to offer that. They could waive it. A lot of kids don't want to. They want that high school diploma. I would say their skills are far weaker if they take that waiver for the most part. And if we were going to look at a, you know, a post-secondary kind of thing, I really think we need to strengthen their basic skills in order to make them competitive, to be able to go in, even to a vocational program that requires reading and math. Their skills could be so low that they're not going to be able to take full advantage of that.
Yeah, and interestingly, with that, when we started with Rancho Santiago Community College District, the first, you know, year or so was just dipping our toe in the water. They actually recommended starting with remediation first, right? And so they did not start with credit classes. It was, yes, math and English comp and things like that. That, again, and also just study skills and getting the youth used to, more independence in college life and new life. So maybe that is something new. So that was something that they, again, thanks to them, but that they were conscious of and did. But maybe it's something we need to make sure is either part of the educational system, whether it be through Department of Ed or through the community college, that we gradually, I think, phase the youth into college life so they don't just fall, you know, fail, you know, going straight into four credit classes or upper level classes.
So here's kind of a question for either Lynn or Daniel. Does there exist today some kind of pre-assessment or curriculum of what do you want to call it? Like a remediation?
Sure. There's a ton of screeners out there that we can, you know, give a basic skills as far as, you know, what are their reading levels and what are their math levels. Those are the two biggest ones. And there's a ton of them out there. Some are free. Some we give at the hall. We could easily give some of those. It just depends on how in-depth and how much detail they want. But there's also, when the community colleges offered remedial programming, which many of them don't anymore, there were placement tests to tell them where to put the kid in a specific curriculum. And those are all available, too.
Okay. So as we're kind of teasing out a specific plan that would meet the needs of Orange County, we would certainly want to ensure that we leverage all existing assessment tools and curricula, certainly to get our kids on board for further educational opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Any other questions, comments from the group about any of the data or information? Is there any other information, at least at this point, that we're lacking or we would like further on before we start kind of diving into what the future plan might look like? And I'm looking right at you, Nazli.
Don, did you want to share our emails?
Yeah, I thought Brian was going to say he was looking right at me. but when you said Nazli, I was like, phew, okay. Nobody
is. Now you can blame Daniel. Sorry.
No. Daniel did reach out to me, and he provided the names of the individual youth, and then I'll be working with our staff to try to pull. We're not going to be able to provide client-level information for the group, but we can provide aggregate information about diagnoses, services received by these youth, so that we're able to provide a comprehensive picture of what their challenges have been from a behavioral health perspective. So we'll be working on that, and I just sent it off for that assistance. So thank you.
Very nice, thank you. Okay, now Nazli.
No, I was gonna ask about that, so. I think also, I really appreciate the information because it really starts me thinking about those risk factors and things that you guys assessed, and it really helps formulate a little bit more on what we need to focus. And one thing that after we had a subcommittee with other juvenile justice providers in our community just yesterday, and one thing that they did bring up was housing is an issue. As well as sober living homes, as well as drug and just beds, period, treatment beds. So I'm sure, Don, you'll probably bring a little light to that. So I'm glad that came up, but definitely I would say that was probably one common factor that many of our service providers were saying. And I know that for us as well, just trying to find beds for, even with the adolescent youth. So, I mean, I see that most, as far as, you know, the numbers I was seeing was 18 to 22. But I think for us to the 16, the underage one, it's really hard to find those beds for those, you know, minors. So I would say all the way around, but specifically the younger age is really difficult to find that. And another thing too, which, I mean, if you see in both populations, I see the family unit a very high risk there. And also another common theme that we talked about was, how do we get parents engaged or caregivers or some adult person in that person's life? I see that a common factor here as well, just that family unit or that essence of family that's lacking in any of these common, things that you guys assess. So, thank you for the information. I think it really helps guide us a little bit more as far as what we need to target.
Yeah, and I would add, I mean, one of the things, we know that there's a real shortage across the state in terms of those adolescent residential SUD beds in particular, with only 5 providers throughout the state. It's a tight resource, but it's definitely something that Alicia and her team have worked very closely to try to increase that resource and get providers who are interested in delivering the service so that we can enhance the availability, because we know there's a need. It's a shortage, unfortunately, across the system. But thank you.
Okay. Any other comments? We've got about 5 minutes before we want to assign Judge Morike and Dawn some extra work. So this is the time to pile on right now, because once they disappear, they're getting assigned. And then we'll just blame Steve Kim. That's what I'm doing.
Well, on that note, I'm just kidding. I just had two quick comments. One is, I think that, you know, for many of our kiddos, what I've experienced is they've had difficulty navigating college and post-secondary. And so I guess, again, I hate to keep bringing it up, but I think having a consistent mentor, navigator, case manager to really walk them through as we move past the systems on, like, hey, would they do the waiver or not? Really helping them understand, you know, how to junior colleges should they want to go, you know, looking at transportation, helping explain to the parents. I feel like other community orgs has been spending a lot of time doing that. And it moves slow sometimes, but I just wanted to call that out, saying that oftentimes just navigating getting into post-secondary in college is really quite a challenge in itself for many of our kiddos. The other thing is, I'm not sure if it's possible, just throwing it out there, to see if there is some type of assessment tool to assess for trauma. I know, you know, we all have heard of ACEs, but, you know, if possible, I think it would be interesting to, you know, assess for trauma so that we could provide appropriate interventions and treatment. As many of us know that, you know, if a student is struggling with the impacts of early childhood trauma, that also becomes a barrier to, you know, progressing and moving on as a possibility. So that's it.
No, I'm really glad that you brought that up, Stephen, and I would echo that as well. One other thing, too, that, you know, being part of the juvenile justice system, that there's a lot of our youth who, and I saw that some welfare systems, too, and, right, we've talked a lot about how they, you know, straddled sometimes both or on the verge of being, you know, in the same system. And hearing some testimonies from foster care group through the ERDD advisory group that I'm part of, they talked about that mentorship. So kind of what we were talking about, Steve, is just having someone who's been there, guiding them, a navigator, kind of like what you've been there too. Again, really helps a lot with just bouncing back and forth, not being able to understand. It was just a really powerful testimony for a lot of these young people who've been through the system. And I would say the same thing, whether it be foster care, even on juvenile justice, it's just having that mentor, even parents as well, having someone that's going to be there along through this whole system that they're going through, you know, and it seems like there's some inconsistencies, and having someone go through with them that won't let go throughout this whole system to kind of navigate them is key. And I've been hearing that it's been best practices in foster care as well as in juvenile justice. So I would echo that. And then even with the trauma as well, I would hope that that would show light on what Dawn will be able to present.
Okay, very good. Now, seriously, in all seriousness, Your Honor, is there any additional information or feedback or even guidance that you would want to ensure the group kind of considers, not only before our next meeting, but moving forward in our planning before you leave us this session?
No, I think all the points that have been made are very good, and obviously it's going to be a continuing discussion. The ad hoc subcommittee, as a part of this group, our ad hoc subcommittee has met once, but I noticed that we're not on that agenda item yet. So I'll stay just to report out on that really quickly with Daniel. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Dawn, anything that you wanted to add before you need to sign off?
No, I'd like to hear
Judge
Morike is going to review when we get to it very quickly.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
So then, unless there's any other feedback specific to agenda item number two, I will then turn it back over to Jamie to see if there's anyone out there who wants to make any comments concerning agenda item number three.
Okay, if anybody wishes to speak on item three, discussion of subcommittee member group reports, please hit *9 on your phone or the hand raise icon on your Zoom app. No requests.
Very good. That being said, I will turn the floor, Your Honor, the floor is yours.
Okay, so our subcommittee, our ad hoc subcommittee, is in particular with respect to part three, which is the programs and services. So we were actually able to meet once, and I think that it was a very productive meeting in that we tackled pretty much two of the sections, well, actually one of the sections, no, two, phase one and phase two of that particular part three. And we need to meet some more, so we have some dates kind of being pushed out to meet again. But it was a really productive meeting, and I have a bunch of notes that I now have to kind of put together so that we can work, continue to work on this particular section of the document that we'd like to share with the state.
Your Honor, do we have a time frame, idealistically speaking, if you meet when you hope to, is there a time frame when at least this group would be able to see the product of your meeting?
I was hoping that we would be able to get something at least roughly together so that we could share it with this group for the next meeting of this group. Unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to be here. I think Judge Arthur's going to be appearing at that meeting, but he's certainly capable of representing what the subcommittee has talked about. But that was the plan. We just need to meet probably once more just to kind of get a better draft together. And then my plan was to push it out, hopefully in time to meet the deadlines required for the publication with respect to this meeting.
Okay, very good. All right. Are you saying goodbye, Dawn? Okay. See you, Dawn. All right.
Sorry, Brian, if I'm not needed anymore, I'd like to say adieu as well. And then remember, all you all are volunteers, not me or Dawn. Bye.
Aww. Isn't that nice? Bye, Your Honor. All right, everybody. Okay. Any other subcommittee report outs that anyone would like to share? Okay. So hearing none, then we will move on. At this point, I'll be taking public comments. So, Jamie, anyone out there on the public?
Anybody like wishes to public comments? Speak under general public comments. Hit star 9 on your phone or the hand raise icon. No requests.
Okay, very good. So we'll go around the horn, and if there are any subcommittee member comments that anyone would like to share for the good of the group, we'll start with our district attorney, Representative Kimberly Doyle. Anything, Kim, from the DA's office?
No, nothing further.
Thank you very much. From our offices of the public defender, Laura, anything to share? Moving on
Laura was muted. Laura, you're muted if you tried to say something. She's still muted. She's still muted, so maybe she stepped away.
Still muted. Okay. Well, we can always come back. Okay. From our healthcare agency, Alicia, was there anything that you wanted to share that Dawn wanted to make sure got shared with the group?
Nothing for healthcare agency.
Thank you very much. Mr. Santini from our social services agency, anything yet?
Thank you, Brian. No, nothing to share. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Before I go to Lynn, I'll try Laura again. Laura, anything from the offices of the public defender? All right. Very good. Now to you, Lynn. Anything from the Department of Education?
Nothing at this time. Thank you.
Okay, very good. From our community providers, I'll start with Nasli. Anything, Nasli, for the group?
Just a point of clarification. I know Judge Moriki had mentioned something
about something in written form. Is this in reference to the template that we keep seeing in the minutes, that there's nothing there other than the questions?
I'm not sure if that was...
I guess, so my point of clarification... Yeah, so I know that we've been going through this template with that's prompting us questions and talking about our plan. We haven't put in any notes in there or written. I think there was a discussion on when are we going to have something on there so that we can kind of follow along as far as what's been discussed and what we've been sharing.
So here is, so ultimately, just to remind the group, the plan is that probation will work with the SBA 23 subcommittee to formulate a draft, in essence, a draft plan, right? Nazlee, to your point, the end goal is for probation and the CEO's office to fine-tune a draft plan that could be presented to this group by probably the end of October, early part of November. Because ultimately, we need to ensure that Orange County's local SBA 23 plan is submitted to the state on or before January 1st of 2022. So we certainly want to ensure that this group has ample time to not only review the plan, but make any alterations. And, you know, that with that in mind, we had purposely planned out, or at least suggested to the group, meeting the first and third of every month. That allowed us ample time, and the last meeting, if you followed the calendar, would end on Thursday, December the 16th. That would still give us the opportunity for the chief to calendar two special meetings if needed, namely on the 23rd or the 30th. That would give probation, this group, as well as the CEO's office, at least three bites at the apple to ensure our plan got submitted in time. So even with delays, we want to ensure that this group has a good idea of what the plan at least preliminarily looks like, and then make modifications as we need to.
A draft would be in October, sometime November.
Right. We're so hoping you have that in your hip pocket and you're going to share it. Come on, Nazlee. No, that's the plan. That is the plan.
Okay, no, I'm just saying because we've been discussing a lot, and sometimes it's good for me to kind of review the notes prior to our meetings to see what's been discussed. And so I'm digitally taking my own notes, but at the same time, it's a nice refresher to have that, you know, to be able to review prior to a meeting. So if it's not until October, it'll be fine. I'll be patient till October. You know, if anything sooner than that, I would appreciate it, just because I definitely would like to make sure that things have been discussed and I have a memory of it as well.
And obviously, the department, as well as all of the SBA 23 subcommittee members, agree that the more we can put out there publicly and what people can see, if there's anything that we as a group missed, hopefully members of the public that are watching, they can say, hey, Orange County, well, didn't you think about this? You know, Nazlee said she'll take all the kids. Just show them to her.
Exactly. I want to make sure that I'm committed to what I said. Thank you so much, Brian. I appreciate it.
Thank you. All right. Moving on. Mr. Sanchez, Raymond, what did we miss? Any comments for the good of the order, sir?
No comments here, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Good to see you.
Thank you, too.
All right. Last but not least, Mr. Kim, Steve, enlighten us. What's happening?
No, nothing much. Just if you haven't been to the Grand Canyon or it's been a while, highly recommend you go back. So that's all I have. Nothing else. Just came back from there. So.
Oh, very nice. Good for you. I think at this point, if I win, I might jump in.
Don't say that.
No. We won't do that. All right, everybody. Unless there's anything else that I missed, Jamie, anything else?
Hey, Brian, can I ask a question real quick?
Oh, yes. Mr. Hernandez. Go ahead, Daniel.
I'm sorry. I had to step out for a minute. Did Judge Motueke discuss the ad hoc committee or anything like that?
She did.
You've been Don and I wrong. Did she? Okay.
All right. We'll try Laura one more time. Laura Jose, any final comments, Laura, for us from the offices of the public defender? Okay, very good. Okay, Jamie, my clock says 2:40.
Yep.
That is when we're going to adjourn.
Okay.
Everybody enjoy the rest of your day, and we'll see you later.